You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Making waves.
Welcome to Making Waves, episode 28. My name is Justin. I'm here with my co-host, Chad. And tonight, we are going to entertain you guys for the next hour with one of the members here of the Dallas genre-bending band, We Are Band Nerds. Everyone, please welcome Brandon. Thanks for taking the time tonight, bud.
It's just me welcoming you. Hi, Brandon.
There we go. But, you know, obviously. So listen, if you guys have not tuned into Making Waves before, we basically represent the Ship Rock Cruise, but welcome. And listen, guys, if you could, if you enjoy this show, please subscribe to us, rate and review us, and then tell all your friends. So with further ado, we'll go ahead and start tonight. Brandon, tell us what's going on, man. What's happening with you and We Are Band Nerds?
Oh, man, I guess you could say we are getting ready for 2021. You know, getting all our ducks in a row, so to speak, and, you know, going to roll out some cool things in 2021. We got some things in the work, you know, possibly albums, you know, definitely singles are coming out, though, as well.
Speaking of that, I noticed in 2020, you guys put out a few singles, right? You just put out My Enemy, right? Am I correct? With music video for that. And then before that, there was, you're going to hate me. It was like
Blackout.
And is there a video for that too? That was the one I was looking for.
Yeah, Blackout. Yeah, that was the first one we did. Yeah, Blackout.
Would I be remiss to pretend that these are going to be part of a record, or are they just?
No, those were just, you know, songs. Like, we try to stay active, you know, and like, 2020, you know, shut down a lot of things or whatnot. And so we just wanted to, you know, I guess you could say stay relevant. We're always thinking, you know, we're always trying to, you know, be relevant, I guess you can say, for a lack of better words. And so, no, those were just treats, just to let you know, you know, just to let you know, hey, we're still here, you know, because we were, you know, we've been grinding for a while. You know what I mean? And we finally got blessed with the opportunity to play at Ship Rock. And then, you know, so things were on the up and up for us. And then, like, soon as we docked, it was like, you know, everything started, you know. And so we took that as, you know, more or less like, okay, this is what we need to do to be ready. You know what I mean? Like, don't take this time to pout about it. You know, we just want to make sure, you know, because we would like to tour and everything, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, we have to have something to advertise, so to speak, you know? And
totally.
So 2020 was all, I guess you could say, rebuilding. You know, we got new equipment. We've upgraded our stuff, you know what I mean? Because, like, before we got to Ship Rock, I guess you could say we were just, like, a little local band, you know what I mean? A garage band, I guess you could say. And, you know, we put out some stuff on some crappy equipment, you know what I mean? But, like, just put stuff out. So we have stuff on record. I mean, we recorded our first album, Forget Me Nots, in the garage right here. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, is that where we're looking at?
Yeah.
If you can't, you guys can't see us right now, which is everybody, we're looking at what looks like a classic rehearsal jam space. And I can't tell you how much I see it. And I'm like, oh my God, I wish I had my jam space back. So but is that, like, so we're looking at where you made that Have Me Nots at.
This is where half of it got made. The other half was at our apartment, you know what I mean? Me and Tony's apartment. And then, you know, I went and got married and, you know, got a house and stuff like that.
Did Tony move with you?
No.
Where's Tony at? You know what I'm saying? You threw your boy to the dogs like that? What's up, dude?
But yeah, like, this is definitely like more or less our new chapter right here. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
Forget Me Nots is was more, I guess we called it like the band hall 303. That was our apartment, you know what I mean? And so that's where a lot of the beats and stuff were made and ideas were consumed. And then by the time it got over here, you know, it was just more or less about mixing and, you know, tracking and stuff like that. So, but this is where My Enemy, Black Up, you know, all the newer stuff, this is where, you know, this is where the ideas come and everything like that. And then we'll rehearse it in here.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what you guys have done with 2020 to what Chad brought up, and what you treats, I think that's a fantastic name for that, dropping that. That seems to be kind of like the plan for a lot of bands this year. It's like, unfortunately, some of them bands we've talked to, they dropped their album in like April and they're like, well, wait a minute, hold on, we're shut down now, we can't tour this. Do we go back and like, do we re-record something? Do we put out a new record? But to you guys were really hit that pocket where you had Clarity had come out. You guys were doing some gigs. You did Shiprocked, and then you're like, okay, shut down. But you can still be creative enough to drop those little pieces out that remind people you're still around, give something they can chew on it for a month, and then maybe drop another one. That was the thing. Just drop a single here and there. Keeps people reminded. But you guys did the right thing. I mean, you sit there and you're like, hey, we're going to build our studio out. We're going to take this time and be creative, which is really interesting because a lot of people took this time to go and like do Twitch or do all these other things virtual to make to make some money. But you guys basically put it all back into the creative, like, hardware situation, which is great.
Yeah, so that, like, we upgraded in our laptops, you know what I mean, hard drives, you know, we monitors, stuff like that, mics, things like that. Like, Tony, because we do our own videos, so Tony, he's upgraded his whole, you know, video studio, new cameras. So, I mean, because if 2021 is going to be anything kind of like 2020, I see a lot of virtual things in the future, and you know, you want it to look good. You know, you don't want cell phone quality, or you know, I guess.
Yes, you got that iPhone 12, dog. That really is
really good. Get a bunch of those. You can do an ad for Apple.
Yeah. And so, but like with the treats, so to speak, like Tony, if Tony was here, he would say this, that people's attention spans, like they're out the window. So, and he can remember when we dropped Forget Me Nots. We did this whole little rollout, and then we dropped Forget Me Nots. And the day of, one of the comments under the album was, oh, this is great. I can't wait for the next one. And it's like, we just released this album. And he's like, I can't wait for the next one. And so, like, with that type of attitude, you know what I mean, and attention span, you know, you got to drop little treats here and there. But I'm an album guy. I like albums. You know what I mean? I like complete thoughts. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, little things here and there are cool, but like, I want to know what someone's going through. You know what I mean? I want to, you know, I want to vibe with that person's work. You know what I mean? And it's hard to do that with individuals, you know, singles here and there.
There's two things that I wanted to talk about. And because with the treats, if you will, you're poised in a position that's, it's kind of, although it's a slow roll right now with everything being shut down, it's kind of at your benefit. When you're building your band, I was in a band called Wilson that played that ship. We're the same exact story. Nobody knew who we were. We played the ship. Our lives changed, and the world didn't shut down directly after it, and we went to do all this great stuff. But we didn't have the platforms even back then in 2014 that are as well revered as like Spotify and the DSPs, everything that's out there now. And the building campaign nowadays, when you're a young band, the idea of blowing your load with a record is like pretty much the last thing that somebody wants to do. And it's really just the old hairs in the industry that have, and I agree, I like full albums as well, but I also appreciate the fact that I don't have to wait. And I'm going to get something now. And on top of that, it doesn't necessarily dictate what's going to be the full encompassing, you know, brain hole picture of the full record when it comes out. With all that being said, though, because now you're able to do this right now, just pump them out, find spaces, put a little money into marketing, pay attention to your analytics, all the nerd stuff that I love. I don't know about you. But on the other hand, what you just said about that guy who says, oh, this is great, I can't wait to the next one. You're like, we just spent all this time doing it. I don't know how like interested or into like stand-up comedy and comedians.
I love
it. Are you familiar with like why they tour and what the whole point of their cycle is? It's the complete opposite as us as musicians.
Really?
Yeah. So they're going out there to work. They're jamming in their space. That's what a tour is. You know, they don't go out there. Like, if you've already seen the special, sorry, my earbuds falling out. If you've already seen the special, you don't want to hear those jokes live, right? So it's the special that they're working up for on the road,
doing
new material, working it out, going through that. And then they put the record out and then they wash their hands of it and never, never, ever, unless you're Dane Cook, say the same joke again and again. And then they're under the next thought process, right? So it's a complete opposite as us, where nobody's heard our shit. We go and make a record and then we're like, look at this shit. And then we go and do it all day, every day for the next 2 years. So I would have to say, like, if anything, when I'm listening to your story, dude, like, I was thinking, man, that's going to suck. Like, coming off the ship and then getting basically dick punched by COVID after that high. And then you're sitting there like, what the fuck are we going to do? We can't even move. But actually, you have the tools at your fingertips to move mountains way more than you would if you got in that van and trailer right now, right? Yeah,
right.
So, yeah, I just wanted to comment on that because I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've noticed for a while, like, basically what's happening right now is what we kind of noticed for a while. Like, rock is starting to have to do what hip-hop has been doing since it started, like, hip-hop artists, that's what they do. Mixtapes, singles here and there, you know what I mean?
Cross-pollination, all that.
Exactly,
stuff.
You know what I mean? And so we've been had that mind frame. Like, if you look at our discography, like, well, we have, like, maybe, like, 7 EPs and a whole bunch of just tracks. And, like, we have tons of music because that was when we started. That's, you know, how we operated. We operated like we were in hip hop, you know what I mean? And like, oh, you got to put out a song, you know, have a mixtape ready. And, you know, 3 months later, we were working on our next one, you know, stuff like that. And now rock is starting to have to move the same way because, and I feel like it's going to bring the best of the best out because before, like you said, you would be able to put out an album and tour on that album for a good 2 years before you had to go to a studio and work on something else. Now, you know, you'll be lucky to make it through the summer with your album before they're looking for something else. And a lot of, I don't know if how they are now, but from what I know, a lot of rock bands, you know, don't produce music that fast because of what it takes to put out a song. And so how Tony and I are unique is we produce all our tracks. You know, they're all live instruments, but we produce them. So whenever we have an idea or we're writing a song, it's just boom, pick up the guitar, okay? And then I'll have Cam play the drums and then we're done, you know what I mean? But before it would be like the whole band needs to be there, the guitarist would, you know, make a riff, the bass player would, you know, but
then you'd fight each other for like 30 minutes over which part needs. Yeah.
Exactly. With Tony and I, we play all the instruments. So cool. We got it. It's done. You know what I mean? And the band, they like that. They appreciate it. You know what I mean? Like Santos, he loves playing the bass lines that I write. I tell him to write some all the time. And he'll be like, no, man, you got it. Same with Scully. Like, he's like, no, man, I like what you do. So it's like we understand our roles. And we work like a team like that. And so we're able to produce out tracks, you know, at the, you know, speed of our creativity. And so we're blessed in that sense, you know what I mean? Which makes us ahead of the curve, so to speak. So that's why I say in 2021, you know, we're preparing ourselves to just be punching and knocking out. Because like you said, we got dick punched. And so now it's like we gotta build that right back up again. You know what I mean? So... And like, yeah, that high was amazing. It was amazing. You know what I mean? And so, you know, we appreciated that opportunity and everything like that. And, you know, we wish we could have capitalized on it a little bit more. But we made some cool friends. You know what I'm saying? We were introduced to a new fan base, you know, and supporters that had become friends, you know. And so we appreciate that experience and like what we've learned. I got to talk to some heavyweights on the boat. You know what I mean? So what I've learned and what we plan on doing, you know, we're very optimistic. The band is still the original band, you know what I mean? Nobody's breaking up, nobody, you know.
Well, except for you and Tony, you kicked him out of your house. And...
Not Tony actually is moving back closer to me, I think March 2nd, he said. So, because he's out in San Antonio right now. And so, you know, he's like an 8-hour drive away from me. And so right now we send tracks through, you know, our drive. We share a Google Drive and we just upload to the drive and tape. You know what I mean? We both use the same program. You know what I mean? And so it's just like, hey, I just dropped you. I'm like, all right, I'm on it. Boom. Hey, I threw it back. Need your verse. You know, that's just how we operate now. So we're very excited with 2021. You know what I mean? Videos, that's another thing. You know what I mean? He's only one person, you know? So those might be slow, but the tracks will have, you know, ample amount of tracks. It's just a matter of visuals because you can't just drop a track nowadays. You got to have visuals with these tracks. Yep. You people are greedy. God, you are greedy. Well, yeah,
they've certainly been conditioned. Now, it's funny, what Brandon, hearing you talk about this, is you just showed right now the benefits of keeping things in-house. Recording in-house, video in-house, just everything is it's great. And 2020, obviously, for a lot of artists, was a downtime because, like you said, you get kicked in the nuts and you're kind of like anyone that works in business, doesn't matter if you're a roadie or a tech or whatever, you're just kind of slowly getting up from your knees and trying to figure it out. But I think what you're doing, with the way you guys are going about it and how big artists and regional artists and international artists, they're going to have to be, it's an invigorating time to be in a rock band because you really have to think outside the box. You're going back, this is like going back to like the Beatles going, how do we record Sgt. Pepper? How are we going to do this? I don't know. Let's fucking try and give it a whirl. And that's what rock bands are going to do. And they're going to become the ones that are creative. They're going to come out on top. The ones that have been playing by the old rules, they're going to kind of go by the wayside.
Yeah, they're going to drown. So, you know,
1000%. So speaking of, let's talk about you guys' sound. Listen, just me, when I first time I even saw you guys was just on the boat, and it's kind of chaotic to kind of lock into a band sound. You kind of know the elements, but it's an active live show. And by the way, you guys blew people away, which I love the fact that you guys were like this kind of smaller band playing in Dallas. You get on Shiprocked and you put on basically a big band show for people, as far as like you guys held your heads with those other bands that have notoriety and the fans enjoyed it. But your sound, when I sit here and I can actually listen and absorb the music, obviously being an old cat, the first thing I think about is I think of like Fishbone and 247 Spies and Living Color, even Bad Brains, kind of because you guys are moving because they. Not just because they were, but they were formatted in a certain, they were kind of founded in a certain style, but they added all these different elements and it just flowed. But you guys bring in like a more modern approach. I mean, the hip hop mixed with like Chad and I were discussing this with like Deftones, Little Orange 9mm, some floating kind of Linkin Park stuff. Mm-hmm. Is this, where did all of these influences from just you guys or the whole band, or tell us about your process in creating your sound?
Yeah, like I grew up on Linkin Park and Limp Bizkit, you know, Deftones, you know, my favorite band, obviously. And then, you know, I grew into, you know, rap and hip hop, you know, eventually. My first love was jazz, though. I say that all the time. Like, I was playing jazz and, you know, trumpet and all that stuff before I got into any of that. But then when I did cross over and listen to like rock, and I just loved how nu metal was a like a mixing pot of everything, because Korn used to mix hip-hop in, you know what I mean, what's his name,
and bagpipes.
Yes, so. Bagpipes, you know. It's just all about it was about the groove, you know what I mean, you know what I mean, it was like the groove. And so like Rick Rubin with you know, producing Beastie Boys, you know, they used to do rock with rap, you know what I mean. And so we didn't really, in my point of view, we didn't really, you know, reinvent the wheel or nothing. We're still carrying on the Korn and Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park. We just kind of like shined it up a little bit, you know what I mean? And, you know, just modernized it, so to speak, you know?
Well, I think taking that one song, just one song, and adding all those elements really gives a chance for it to breathe and keeps the audience super engaged, because they're not just used to that same 3-minute beat. You're throwing all kinds of stuff at them, and you're, these quick turns and like time signature stuff, and then going back into hip hop. It's really interesting and invigorating as a listener. So you're always on your toes, you know?
I think I make headphone music. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I always imagine, you know, listening to my music in headphones. You know what I mean? Does it sound good to me in the headphones? Like, yeah. Am I driving in the car and it sounds good in intimate spaces? You know, that's the type of, you know, vibe that I like to go for, you know? So I like to take your ears on a journey. You know, I don't want you to get bored, like he says. So I appreciate that. Like, but you know, this, you know, so Tony, you know, his influence, his hip hop influence, and his knowledge, and is able to find the pockets on, like, you know, little drum patterns and stuff like that. You know, and then you add Cam, he's like a human MP3, you know, MPC, so he can play any drum beat you throw at him, and his pocket is amazing. One of the best drummers in the world, to me, my opinion. Like, you just don't understand the talent that he has. And then Santos, his love for the bass, he always puts that energy that I can't put on it. So I'll show him a bass line, but he puts that energy just because his love of playing bass. Like, I've never seen someone that loves to play bass like he does. So, like, hey, dude, get a room. And then Los is the glue to me. Los, I've always said it, when we found Los, he's always been the glue, because sometimes our songs can get a little too heavy. And then when we add Los in there with the DJ and the scratching, you know what I mean? It brings back that hip hop element and the bounce and the groove that we always want you to feel. We want you to feel the bounce and the groove of it. Even if it sounds like it's fast, or, you know, there's always a pocket there. We want you to bounce. We want your head to always be moving to what we're doing. It's a vibe. Like, if you could, you should be able to headbang to it, mosh to it, and twerk to it. You know what I mean? Pick your poison.
Yeah, so, you know, you bring the girls in and the guys will follow. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Do you know the band Head PE?
Yeah. We're actually we're kind of working on a collaboration. We're like, you know, messaging back and forth. So yeah.
We played a couple earlier shows. Records in particular are like that. Your sound, it reminds me of Justin. We were talking about right before you got on the elements of Orange 9mm, and I feel like there's this lyrical push and play. Kendrick Lamar's "To Pimp a Butterfly" is my favorite record.
Yes.
Period. It came over top of all my other favorites to this day, and I didn't. You know, that kind of blew my mind. I listened to it more than anything else, and I hear that going on with the push and play between the melody and the lyrical delivery. And what I really was curious is, because the Head PE thing turns itself back around, the second record that band put out, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head right now, but there's a song called Bartender.
Yeah, Run Bartender.
It. Hey, bartender, hit me with a double. That song, it, like, as soon as you guys started playing on the ship, I was like, I heard this groove, and I was like, doo-doo-doo. That song has this doo-doo-doo, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding. Yep. And I was like, is Head PE playing on the ship? Like, I just heard the groove. I didn't know what was going on. I walked, it was in the, was it the back room? What's the, I always forget the room, the Eagles, right?
The
Eagles Lounge in the back Eagles. Right?
The Eagles, I thought the Eagles Lounge was in the, what was the one in the middle of the ship?
Atrium. The atrium.
So then the Eagles Lounge, and then
So I was walking by the back of that area. There's a piano room over there, and somebody was in there playing pianos. I was listening to a guy. I thought they were playing. It was playing on speakers in there, and I was like, no, it's not. I opened the door. It was you guys. And at first I was like, damn, this is, like I said before I came in there, I was like, damn, I didn't know Head PE was on the ship. And I came in, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? It was so, like, honestly, it was refreshing, right? You know, when you're in a situation where, like, for me, I was a huge fan. I'm still a huge fan of new metal, but just like you, I cut my teeth in that sort of area. This all going back to one point, and you're in Dallas, right? And these people that you're playing with, you, I don't know every band member's name, but I definitely know Tony and Cam because we've been talking about them.
Yes.
How long have you guys known each other, and how did you get to know each other? And in Dallas, because both Justin's from there, I lived there a little bit of time, there used to be a really dope music scene years ago there when the Door and all that stuff was around. Mm-hmm. I my first tours ever were with bands from there that no longer exist, but it's gone as far as I know.
Yeah, it's all like little high rises and stuff like that. They're trying to do in little restaurants and stuff like that. There's like little
cocktail just like the camaraderie bars. Of bands. It didn't like I feel like in 2007 or 8 is the last time that I remember like maybe 10 is when I remember like, wow, this is going downhill. And then from there, not downhill in a bad way, like the venues were closing and there wasn't just the same sort of thing going on. Maybe it just wasn't I wasn't paying attention to it. In a different area, but how did you guys meet is what I guess I'm trying to say. What's your story, man?
I guess it all started a long time. Now, we've known each other for over a decade. Dorian, or Scully, the guitarist, he is my college roommate and a longtime best friend. And then Tony was my, not supervisor, but my trainer at this job. Encore, we used to work at Encore Electric, and he was my trainer, so I met him, and like he would take me out on routes and stuff like that, and he would show me, you know, and we just started talking, you know, like, yo, you know, you do music? Yeah, I was like, yeah, I do music, you know, because I was going to I just left North Texas, and I was going to it was called Media Tech back then. I don't know what it's called. All right, it was called Sound Lab. Now it's called like Media Tech or something like that.
It used to be Dallas Sound Lab. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I was James Dumain was one of my teachers, and I was going there at the time. And while I was working at Encore, and I was like, "Yeah, I do music." You know, I was more or less doing beats at the time, and you know, just engineering. And I was like, yeah, I make beats and, you know, engineering. He was like, yeah, you know, I rap, you know, and, you know, Tony, he's got that thick New York, you know what I mean? And so we just started vibing, you know, started freestyling with each other. And then I started bringing him to my classes and, you know, using him to record for my projects. And like, we started Band Nerds as a compilation CD to showcase our beats that we were making. And we didn't form a band until I think James Dumain, my professor, was like, hey, we have a showcase. And so I was like, yo, let's, you know, do our music live instead of just doing it, you know, let's do it live. And so we got, I got a couple of people together and we did it, and like, you know, it went well. And so, you know, me and Tony had a talk and we were like, let's do it for real, for real. And so I got Scully, I called him, you know, I was like, hey, play guitar for me in this band. And then we had auditions and we found Cam, and then we found Los, and then at the audition or whatnot. And then Santos came later on. We also had like a keyboard player and a singer, like my bro, he passed away. And we also had two DJs, and it was just a mess. And so we were kind of like the Roots, though. There was no distortion and stuff like that. We were like the Roots. We were like a hip hop group, almost, so to speak. And so I wanted to do rock.
And it sounded like his worst nightmare.
Yes, I wanted to do, I always wanted to do, because like I said, I grew, you know, Deftones was one of my favorite bands. And so I wanted to do that, you know what I mean? I wanted to rap and do that over, you know, rock and stuff. And so we had members in the band, you know, it didn't really work. Los, Cam, and Scully stayed, you know what I mean? And from there, you know, we went through a couple of bass players. You damn bass players are hard, you know. That's another time. But we kept going through bass players, really good, talented people, you know, just created differences. And we finally found Santos about 10 years ago. And he came through. And, like, before he played, like, I already fell in love with him before he played. Like, he was just, his personality, he's just inviting. Sandman, he was going as the Sandman on the boat, all throughout the boat. But Santos, oh, yeah. Sandman. And so, like, he was just a good dude. And I just was like, this is someone I want in my life, period. Do you know what I mean? And so ever since then, we have all just clicked like brothers. We argue like brothers, you know what I mean? We love each other like brothers, you know what I mean? So that's just what we do. And yeah, we've been a band ever since. And now it's more or less like we're a family that does music rather than we're a band. You know what I mean? Okay. It's just like, we just like hanging out together. And it's just a bonus that, you know, we make dope music. So,
yeah, I love that.
So that's the story of band.
So if you guys work on new music, I mean, a lot of bands tend to say, hey, we've have our freshman and sophomore albums out. How are we going to evolve? When you guys do so many different genres within what you already do, is there evolution from that? Or are you just kind of bringing new sounds to add to what you guys are already doing? There's no real need to kind of change and say, hey, let's add elements of this when you're already actually doing that.
You know, that's a good question. Cause you know, as an artist, I fight with that, you know, daily. You always want to evolve. You always want to, you know, do something better, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but I understand, like, as a fan of other bands, I hated when they would do that. And so, like, for instance, I don't know how many people would agree with me, but I feel like after, you know, Linkin Park's second album, like, lost it for me. You know what I mean? They started adding, you know, world music and stuff like that. And, you know, it was cool. You know, Mike Shinoda is a creative dude and talented dude. It just wasn't for me. And so I just stay with the Hybrid Theory and the, what's the one after that one? What is the one?
There's one after that one. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, I like the records. You know, it's super, super hard when your legacy is built off that first record out of the gate. It's almost a curse.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good curse, but yeah,
it's a good. And so, how we feel, how you know, because Tony and I, we talk about that daily. You know, when we're making, you know, songs and we're passing them back and forth, you know. I might send one that be like, oh, you're coming way too, you know, you're way out there, like, you know, and he has to reel me back in and vice versa. And so you work all your life or you work all this time for people to recognize you for something, you know, you don't want to abandon it, you know, once people, you know, see you. But at the same time, you don't want to be mundane, mm-hmm. you know, so... Me personally, I don't feel like it has anything to do with the sound per se. It's just more or less the content, you know what I mean? And perspective, you know what I mean? Because, you know, that's what makes a good song. You know, it's a collaboration, you know, between, you know, good production, but good, you know, lyrics and content, you know what I mean? And I feel like as long as we're growing as songwriters, you know, people will be pleased and they won't be like, oh, they changed and this, that, and the third, you know. So, I mean, as long as you keep those elements, does it bang? You know, this is on the checklist. Does it bang? Does your head nod? Are we talking about something that's of interest?
Yes. I like to think about it. Does it fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, does this shit fuck? Because if it could fuck, fucking is a great word in general, because there's so many, like, it could be good, it could be bad, it could be sensual, it could be
right.
It could be aggressive, you know, as long as it's fucking, you know, it's invoking some sort of emotion. I also think there's something special about a band's a band having, or an act in general, just having a shitty record. And I think it's important when you're a legacy band to dump out a Saint Anger, if you will, because if you want to maintain a career,
right,
Lulu,
you have to dip in order for that peak to come back up, because there's no, like, you know, there's a perspective of, like, if you found the band when you're 15, 16 years old and you were thinking they're going to grow with you while you turn 20 and then you have bills to pay and all these other fucking things come into your life, your heart gets broken, you know, your family's members start to die as you get older, like, and they're like still fucking punk rocking it up. Yeah. You're like, dude, brah, that's just not working for me yeah, anymore. Like, I gotta figure out how to get my kid from school at 3 p.m. and I don't get out of work till 5 p.m. All right.
Exactly.
How are you gonna make a song about this? You know, that sort of shit.
And that's where I'm at. You know what I mean? It's more like you just said, like, I got a kid, you know, I'm married. Like, this is different than, you know, when I was single guy in a, you know, apartment, you know what I mean? Like, I can
You're not like, shut up when I'm talking to you anymore. You know? You're like, I'm ready to listen. Please tell me what's going on.
So, I truly, you got to evolve, you know what I mean? So, and if you listen to our early stuff to now, you can see the growth. You can see from the content. You can see from the instrumentation, from, you know, the quality of it, you know what I mean? You can hear our growth because that's what we write about. We write about our lives. We write what you can relate to, you know what I mean? Like, and so I'm pretty sure there's somebody out there that wants to tell their kid, shut the hell up sometime, you know what I mean? At this moment, like, I don't give a damn that you can do this or that. And you know what I mean? Like, oh, that's not really that special. Do people think like that? Like I do, like,
you could do better,
you know. But I don't want to be the asshole dad. So
this is not even going to make the fridge, okay?
But Brandon, you pick up a really good point. Is like, how does an artist kind of say, okay, we've got to keep the music a certain sounding a certain way, but we can evolve by giving it lyrical legs. Right. And making sure that we're saying what we're representing ourselves as an adult now. Because my lyrical bent 10 years ago isn't the same it is now, because like you said, the pressures of life and whatever your children affected definitely, but keeping the sound, because a lot of times that's what people want. They want the beat because, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of people out there who just don't listen to the lyrics. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you can still as an artist have the satisfaction of growing by just lyrically coming at it from a different perspective, yet keeping it just banging as hell.
Yeah, so, you put the medicine in the food.
I love it. That's great. Perfect. That's perfect term, man. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, and what is lucky for us is like we're just coming out. So you don't have like we don't have the luxury of like a, you know, Linkin Park or Limp Bizkit or whatever, where you saw them as kids, you know what I'm saying? And then they, you know, like this, you've heard of us when we're adults. So mm-hmm. like you're getting in our car now, you know what I mean? And so this is where we're starting. And so fortunately for us, if you come and become a fan of our music, of the content that we're putting out now, then yeah, we're good. You know what I mean? You'll be just fine.
Like, what's funny is you got, at this point, you guys already passed a career. A lot of bands from that genre that came out real heavy and hard when that whole thing was really blowing up, their careers came and went so quickly. You guys already outpaced them. Yeah. I mean, three or four years into this. Yeah,
it's a marathon. Yeah,
absolutely. So, dude, let's talk about the cruise for a minute and how you guys got on. I remember when Alan told me that you guys were coming on, and I wasn't really quite familiar at the time. And then I started going and investigating. I said, this is perfect because we've had such a great success with like Hyro and people like that, bringing the hip hop element in there. And we have obviously artists that when we do the Stowaways, we always do a Beastie Boy cover, something thrown in there. Chad can relate to that because he always sings those things. But it just shows you how open-minded the cruise is as far as like inviting new acts in. And then when you guys play, be it 11 or 12 o'clock, people are right up in front and they're just so into it.
Yeah.
And it's inspiring to see that people A, have such open minds to the new acts, new bands, and then B, that you guys just deliver so heavy to them. And it's like, man, they're just winning fans left and right here. So when we talk about, you know, hey, we just came off the cruise and now this is lit down. Well, everyone that was on that cruise, the 5,000 people heard you. Guess what? They're not going anywhere. When you guys are ready to go back out, they're going to be there waiting for you because you were such a big part of their experience. And not only that, the way you guys handled the bingo was like my favorite, almost my favorite part of the ship. I never laughed my ass off so much. And we've had comedians on, man, they get paid to do that. You guys are just like, I looked over at my friend. I was like, I said, this is fucking great.
We're brothers, so that's how we are.
Oh yeah, the banter was like, you guys had been around each other for a long time because the banter was there, and you guys knew how to finish each other's lines. And when you said some stuff about some of the highways in Dallas, I was like, okay, I get it. This is funny. It's funny to me because I know exactly what the hell they're talking about. I got context.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
To like capstone, to like, I guess, further on that point, what did it feel like doing that shit? I mean, have you guys been on a cruise as humans, just like a regular, like, on the middle of the sea, in the middle of the ocean, eating chicken nuggets, watching, you know, Days of Our Lives on the big screen? Or, you know, like, have you been, or is that the first time for the whole kit and caboodle? Like, how did it feel, if it was, too?
That was okay. So yeah, it was not overwhelming. You know what I mean? It was just more or less like, this is where I'm supposed to be. You know what I mean? All these, you know, we paid our dues in Dallas, you know, all over the place. We played in front of one person, literally one person. We've also
like, sup, Doug?
You know what I mean? Like, and so like, but we've always, you know, just pretended that we would be in front of someone, you know what I mean? Cause it's like, I know a lot of artists, they always say stuff like, you know, if you can do it in front of one person, you can do it in front of, that is not true. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an energy person and I'm not going to lie. There were shows that I just didn't give a damn, you know what I mean? And like, I did, and I apologize, you know, to those people that, you know, never heard us before, but it's like, you work so hard, you promote, and then like 6-7 people come out, you know, and it gets frustrating, you know what I mean? And you feed off that energy, but that's why you have to have a support system, you know, that's why you have to have, you know, someone's going to be on the high of the day that you're on the low, you know what I mean? So Santos might be low and I pick him up, and then vice versa. Like, Tony's down and then, you know, he picks up Scully picks up Tony, you know, that's what we do. We're always pushing forward. So we would always practice and we would always perform like we were going to be there. And then when we're there, it's like, we've been here already. You know what I mean? Even though inside we had butterflies, we were all like little schoolgirls, like, in our room and everything. Like, you know, of course, like, you can't give black people money like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't give us that. Like, we come from nothing. You give us a little change, you give us something, we're going to have to move. But, you know, we held our composer in front of everybody else. But, like, we were happy and everything. So, it was a great experience. It was, you know, like I said earlier, a blessing. It was, you know what I mean? Like you said, I was shitting my pants, all that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
did you save the underwear?
Yeah. No. No, I did not.
It's like your first dollar at a business.
Yeah. You're like, hey.
No, hey, Brandon, I could tell you. Underwear. Brandon, it's funny talking to you about when I was watching you guys perform, and a lot of bands kind of come in there premeditated about how their performances are going to go in their movements and their stage setting and where they're supposed to be at their solo. You guys were like, you guys being heavily jazz influenced and coming from the University of North Texas, which is a huge jazz school. You guys really gave each other showcases during each song to really let each other shine. It was, almost felt like a jazz thing. Like, okay, right. you take it. And that's what it felt like. Yeah, so that's what if none of it ever felt choreographed, man. It's just like, hey, you want to take this moment? Talking off screen.
Hello, can you hear me?
We got you back.
You shit your pants again?
No, it was Cam. It was Cam knocking on my garage door because we got confused. We thought it was 7 p.m. Sure. for here and not the Eastern. So. So
Cam, you're late, man. We've been talking all this shit.
No, hey, what's up, bud? How are you?
What's up, man?
I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed. You shit your pants. You shit your pants on a ship, man. I shit my pants all the time, dude.
I'm embarrassed. Grab your chair, man.
I wanted to finish that thought real quick. I'm sorry, Chad.
Yes, yes,
regarding you guys giving each other that spotlight during the songs, and it felt so loose and unchoreographed. So it was really refreshing to see that. And I kind of thought, well, this has to be part of that jazz thing where everyone gets their like little moment to shine per song. And I thought it was great.
Oh, man. Like, Cam and I, we play in church. We come from church, so like that's like, you know, improvising on the spot, you know, that's what we do, you know what I mean? We're church musicians. And so like you said, we wanted to add that we wanted to showcase everybody, you know what I mean, and give everybody a chance to shine, you know what I mean? But to be low key, it was really for Cam. I really wanted to showcase Cam, you know what I mean? So
Cammy loves you. He's been talking nothing but good. No, seriously. I mean, this dude's given so much love to his band, to you guys in general. Like, you could tell that you guys really do have a true special, a special bond. And I don't want to take away from what you were saying, but now that Cam is here, can we ask you two together? Did you both shit your pants at the same time on the ship, or was it like a one person shit, the other person, you know, covers up? Like, Cam, what was your favorite part about being on the ship, and how did you really feel once you came on board that ship? Like, when you got on there, you're like, what?
I think, to be honest, my favorite part was the whole part.
What was that?
The entire time from beginning to end, from walking on and not being known, but being like people, and then some people knew us, and then you could tell some people that would know us, but was, I guess, scared to reach out. But I was so glad to be able to actually reach out and talk to them. That's me being a drummer, I missed that a lot, because I'm usually tearing down where they're talking to everybody and stuff like this. So by the time I'm done, packed up and ready, everybody's gone. So,
yeah, they're not going anywhere on the ship, man. They're around. They're not hopping in their cars.
Him and Sato on the boat, him and Sato's are the reason probably why people came to see us, because they were all over the boat just talking to everybody. You know what I mean? They probably the reason why I'm sick, because they're shaking everybody's hands and all that. And like, they are the reason why people were in the Eagle Lounge that night, because they were just talking us up. Because, you know, I'm a little social, not, you know, anti-social or anything. It's like, oh, you want to talk to me? Like, why you want to talk to me? Like, you know, but they're social butterflies. They're all over the place. Hey, I'm Cam, I'm in a band,
And so, yeah, Cam was working the room, man. I can attest to that.
He was killing it. So yes, him and Santos were the main reasons why everybody, and then Tony a little bit. You know what I mean? Tony a little bit, but you know what I mean? Me and Scully, we were just walking around taking it in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was a lot of thanking for me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just being thankful to be there and in that position. So, you know, I wasn't trying to be rude. Like, anybody that I came across, I had a conversation, took pictures, you know, shook hands, you know, all that. You know what I mean? I was appreciative of it. But, like, a lot of the time, you know, it was just, like, a lot of just walking around, just taking it in. Because, you know, we've never been in a situation like that before or had that experience before. And, like, when you're, I guess, as a leader of the band, when you're constantly having to motivate your band to come to practice after a shitty show or a show that had like seven people, and you know what I mean, and motivating them to be like no, we are good, like, we do have a good sound, like, we're good, we're gonna be fine, you know. And then finally get an opportunity to show ourselves to a mass amount of people at one time, you know, that part was overwhelming for me, and it was a lot of thankful, you know, moments for me just walking around. I just be like, dang, yeah, I appreciate it. Now I can't go back. Now, you know, it's like, oh, I can never go back. So, you know, so now it's just like, oh, I'm on go mode. I'm on like, you know, get it, let's go mode. You know what I mean?
There's a part of me that pictures you just straight cold leaning against this, like be like, I fucking told you, motherfuckers.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Don't
of that.
Ever doubt me again. We're
it
good.
Was a lot of that.
Yeah.
Of that.
Hey, you're like, it was a what's lot up, of that. Cam?
It was
you're
a lot of that.
Having fun now, motherfucker.
my exact words were, "You motherfuckers can't tell me shit.
Can't tell me nothing." I love that.
We're validated.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a whole lot of that. It was a whole lot.
Just
of that.
Sitting in the room waiting for them to come back in. He's like, you having fun? Yeah. We got this thing, man. We got. We got this thing that we do at the end of these that it's called Walk the Plank.
Walk the plank. Walk the plank.
And we have three questions, and Justin and I each ask our own, and then we get a fan question to ask. If it's cool with you guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
Unless Justin has anything else to...
No, listen, I'll tell you what. Let's ask this. Chad, when you ask your question, both of you gentlemen answer it separately, your own answers, and we'll do that for all of them. So basically, at the end of the day, we're going to have six responses to everything.
Okay, cool. We'll make them short and sweet.
No, take as much time as you want. And this this is basically a question that's like random question, and you answer it in the best you know how.
Okay. And everybody's judging, so...
Everyone is. Right. Yeah.
So my... Sorry. My question, TL, is, and I asked this once before and I felt like it was the right, I feel like it's the right time to ask it. So my question is, how will culture change over the next 100 years? How do you feel like culture, our society, is poised to change over the next 100 years?
I have a weird theory that it's everything repeats itself, and I feel like it's just going to be, we're just going to start looping, like maybe
centrifugal.
For instance, like the 60s will be hot again, and you'll have more artists coming out with sounds that sound like that, and then, you know, artist might come out that had a cool funk, you know, song, and instead now that's the trend. And you know, so I feel like music will constantly be doing that. And then sooner or later in 100 years, someone might revert back to 2019 or 2018 or something like that. And like, oh, this sound was, you know. So I think it's just going to repeat itself. Like, I feel like every note, every melody, every chord progression has damn near been played. You know what I mean? And like, sooner or later, songs are going to sound alike. Unless you're just drastic and you're like that one band. Oh, what was that band? They what's the name of that band? But they did digital noise. It was like, and then Kanye jumped on that. I forget what the band was called. But then Kanye jumped on the wave. And then his Yeezus album was like influenced by that sound. Death Grips. That's what they were called. Said that, my bad. I think we're just going to constantly go back and pull from past and just keep going like that, kind of like a tank wheel. You know, we're just going to keep pulling and just moving along at the same time. You know what I mean? But it's just going to repeat itself eventually. Because how many songs are out now that you could hear a song and be like, that sounds like, you know what I mean?
Every song.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And so especially in hip hop, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, hip-hop songs nowadays are DJ's dream. You know what I mean? You just got one tempo pretty much, you know what I'm saying? And you can just mix it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, me personally, I dip back into jazz, you know what I mean? You know, because that all that is freestyle, to be honest, you know what I mean? And so that's what I like to listen to, a bunch of randomness, you know, over beautiful chords.
And well, so, Brandon Kennedy, then, when we spoke about earlier, what you guys doing in-house or anything, couldn't that be kind of a replication of what they're doing in the 60s when people start to get experimental? So you actually are kind of living 100 years in the future right now, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
My
point proven.
Yeah, there you go. It came to fruition. Hey, Cam, what do you think about that question?
Basically, as well, I would say what I would prefer, but I do understand everybody, it's almost like, there's a lot of followers. I wanted somebody to do something different. That's basically what I'm starting to look into, stuff like that. And then, like, my other, one of my homies, his name is Black Dynamite.
Black Dynamite.
And he just released a couple albums. He's a drummer, and he has, like, a jazz background, but his music is, like, it has everything.
Yeah.
It's literally almost everything from jazz to like the 60s, 70s to it's broad. It's basically a little bit of everything. If you're really a music head and you enjoy good music, check him out, just because
he's experimental on another level. He puts multiple genres in one song. And it's like two different parts or three different parts. But I would hope it would expand like that to be
more. He's a drummer, you mentioned? He's a drummer? Yeah. So is it kind of like a almost kind of Buddy Miles when Miles was doing the Hendrix Experience stuff?
He's like mentally, he went to Booker T. So it's a music
school. Oh, yeah.
And he grew up with Spice T-Wright and, you know, Sean Martin and all the, you know, Dallas Greats and stuff like that. So being around, and that's what I like being around. It's a lot of good music around here.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of where I get inspiration from, too, is a lot of local bands.
Okay, so basically you guys think that, A, originality has to come back, and there's going to be some artists that are going to really set the bar for that, and then also basically everything is secular, and we're going to come back at some point to being in the 1970s again.
Yeah. I mean, nobody plays instruments anymore.
It's funny you mention that, because I used to do stuff for a Guitar Center, and I saw more kids taking lessons. That was very inspiring, and I'm talking about like 2019. It was inspiring. Yeah, it was good. But you're right. I mean, more poor people got to get out there. But hey, if they can blend live instrumentation, what you guys do, with some beats, then, you know, hey, whatever gets them playing music.
Yeah.
My question to you gentlemen is this, and obviously it's going to be separate, because do you possess any of the qualities of your astrological sign?
Yes.
First off, what are you?
I am a damn Cancer. I'm Cancer.
And what do you feel are your strongest traits that come from that sign?
Loyalty.
Yeah, you've proven that tonight. You really have proven that. But what you say about your band, you definitely are in that. And what you guys have built, so that's spot on, actually.
Yeah. I love hard. You know what I mean. And I'm emotional.
Okay. There you go. Hey, Cam,
what is your sign?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Oh, he's the Sag.
I'm trying to read up on it right now.
Are you trying to read? Like,
no, I don't even know any Sagittarius.
He's a Sag.
I'm a Sag, but I'm reading up on it so I can confirm that. So
okay, yeah.
You know, inquisitive. That's what it is.
Yeah. I just got into it. I'm sorry. So,
I'm a researcher.
Yeah, you know, hey, Google's your friend.
Yeah,
I was just gonna Google it. I was like, "What is that shit? I don't even know what that is."
Is that birth? When is that part of the year anyway? What month is that?
It's the second part of November.
Okay,
it's like later.
So right into Christmas then. Okay.
Yeah.
It says the 23rd through the 23rd of November through the 21st of December.
What is the description of you as a Sagittarius?
I guess they said we care hard and we love hard too. Like, we're really loyal, but don't like twist. Like, if you fuck with it, it's a rat.
That's
like, hey,
you're basically the mafia. You got to be the mafia, right?
We're
okay.
Peaceful as long as you don't fuck with us.
All right,
got a problem after that. It's hard.
Okay, so Cam is a warrior monk. So we've got that down. he's from the Shaolin. So.
And I do have my gems, and I keep my stones. So yeah.
There you go. All right, you're a crystal, a peaceful, spiritual man, but don't fuck with him.
All right. Do you have a fan question, or do you want me to take the fan question?
You can take the fan question.
All right, this is a pretty. I thought this was a pretty interesting one.
Wait. This is a fan question.
Yeah. We make a survey and we try to.
Hold on. Were they for us, or this is just like, hey, we're gonna ask some.
No. It's for,
it's a generator.
It's a generator.
We have a surplus for the week, for each week's episode, from the people that ask questions about their general things. It's not going to be
Because it's the band. It's not specific to a band. It's just
we don't have bands.
So when do you guys think you're going to get any fans? No, it's. I feel like it's interesting. It can lean into some pretty weird stuff. So, and I'm gonna assume that this is an assumption here. When you die, where would you like to be? In your cremated? I said, sorry. Hold on. When you die, Where would you like your ashes to be spread? I'm assuming they know for sure you're going to be cremated here. But when you die, where would you like your ashes to be spread? They don't want your mom to keep them in an urn. They want that shit on the ground somewhere, I guess.
Oh, man. Where would I want my ashes to be spread?
I'm going to go with, I'm gonna say that you're going to say deep Elm, the double wide deep Elm, right?
No.
Double wide. RBC.
Jokes.
You know, dang, I wish this question had more detail. Like, did I die before my girl, or did my girl die? Because if I died before my girl, she has to take me with her everywhere.
like in how?
In her coin purse or what?
Yeah, what are you starting? Yeah.
This is Cross. pleasure to meet us.
You know, I think if I'll see it, spread my ashes. Spread my ashes somewhere on the beach.
Any
or,
beach?
You know what? Spread my ashes on Lincoln Financial Field. Okay. That's where the Eagles play.
Oh, I was going to say, okay. Yeah, Phillies fan, huh?
Die hard.
You remember where you live, right? You know where you live, right? Okay.
Yeah. That's where I live.
But my heart ain't there. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I'm from PA. You know, that's where I was. Oh, going.
Okay, well, that makes sense. All right,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was like, okay. I was like, what is he doing?
He's asking to die.
Where do you want to be spread?
Bring me across, like, get somebody in the plane, and just spray me across Oak Cliff, Texas.
Okay, that's all right. You hear that? They want to be spread on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that Brandon's wife is going to wear while she jumps out of a plane flying over top of Texas. That's the answer.
Over Oak Cliff, yeah. Don't get it in anyone's lattes over there, but yeah.
Hey, I want to be a part of everybody.
There you go.
This is me getting back.
There you go. Yeah. I know it's kind of hard to hit you with a mortality question just off the cuff, but, you know, hey.
You know what?
Honestly, I want to be frozen.
You want to go cryo?
I always said to my wife, I was like, I want them to freeze me, and then I want a conveyor belt to roll me around the funeral. So no one has to get up. Then I just roll around. And
Block Eye style? On a toy train?
Yeah. So. Anyway, hey, listen, guys. Before we say goodbye to you, it would be remiss if I didn't say a few things. Hey, guys, Shiprock Land, Shiprock 2022 is coming in January. There are some cabins still available, so go to shiprock.com and find those. And if you're just looking for a cabin mate, you can go to look there, and it'll send you to go look for someone you can partner up with. So shiprock.com, cabin still available. Also go to ask4.com/shop. Look for some of our new goods, including hoodies, t-shirts, leggings, and I think a few of the Fuck 2020 shirts are still available.
Yeah,
those are so dope.
They're dope.
There you go. Those are gold, right? So yeah, go pick them up there. And listen, tonight, guys, on behalf of myself, Justin, and my co-host Chad, and we want to thank our producer Al McManus.
Has it ever occurred to you what would happen to my future if I were to fail to live up to my responsibilities? Has it ever occurred to you? Has it?
Thank our engineer Jennifer, show coordinator Heather, and of course the captain Alan Koenig. Listen, we want to thank Brandon and Cam from We Are Band Nerds for joining us tonight, and this was a great hour, and I think a few more minutes have tacked onto that. Thank you guys for everything that's going on. 2021 sounds like it's going to be a really exciting, creative year for you, and we appreciate you guys sharing that with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Chunk of dudes to my enemy. My enemy. I can't give that energy.
My energy.
Don't try to come fuck with my energy.
Hate you,
don't bother me. Making moves, chunk of dudes to my enemy.
Hate you,
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.